Now let's look at the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Like that which we did in Sunday school this morning, this is something that I have done in Germany. We have Bible studies during the week, and one of those Bible studies is from the book of Jeremiah. And so this is something that I have done in German. So if I switch over to German at some point in the middle, hopefully that won't happen. But if I do, just understand and pray that the Lord will help us get back on track. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll read verse 4 through verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us this morning to look at your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts, that you'll help us to understand that which Jeremiah described to us about his calling into the ministry. And Lord, I pray that everyone that is here will be open to whatever it is that you have for them in their life and in the area of ministry. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 4 again, it says, Then the word of the Lord. Who was it that spoke to Jeremiah? Well, John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that verse identifies the word of the Lord with Jesus Christ. Psalm 36 and verse 6, it says, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33 verse 4, For the word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. I submit to you this morning that this passage, like that we have in Isaiah chapter 6, is a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ in the Old Testament to call Jeremiah into the ministry. It says, The word of the Lord came. The first time in the Bible we find that the word of the Lord came to someone, it was Abraham. Genesis 15 and verse 1, it says, After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The first time someone received the word of the Lord, and it's recorded for us, the first thing he said, Fear not. I'm sure it was a fearful thing for Jeremiah as a child to see the Lord. The second time we find something about the word of the Lord coming to someone is in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1, it says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. At that time, they had the books that Moses had written. Well, that was all. And it was precious in those days because no one was seeing visions of the Lord at that time. And then later in the same chapter, verses 19 to 21, it says, And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so we find a connection between Abraham and Samuel and all the prophets to Jesus Christ, as the word of the Lord came many times in the Old Testament for various purposes, often to call someone to a particular service, such as Abraham or Samuel or Moses or Isaiah or Jeremiah. We find the word of the Lord comes to these people for the sake of calling them into ministry. Jeremiah's call resembles that specifically of Moses, of Isaiah, and also of Ezekiel. We think of Moses as he stood upon holy ground. He saw the burning bush, and God spoke to him from the burning bush. Both Isaiah and Ezekiel had visions where they saw into the throne room in heaven. And when we read the things that they describe, we have a hard time understanding it, first of all, as Ezekiel talks about the wheel and all these different things, and we're not sure what he was talking about in a lot of that. But they were actually looking into the throne room of God, and they heard the voice of the Lord speak unto them. Well, Jeremiah did not describe what he saw in the way that Isaiah did or in the way that Ezekiel did. Instead, he focused more on what he heard rather than what he saw. But based upon the context, I believe there is reason to believe that he saw a very similar vision to what Isaiah saw and to what Ezekiel saw. In verse number 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." There's three verbs in this verse, and they are extremely important. They are the verbs knew, sanctified, and ordained. The verb knew, he says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." This word means there's a very close personal relationship. This very same word was used in Genesis 4, verse 1, where it says, "And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain." It's a very close personal relationship. And God said to Jeremiah, "Before you were formed, I knew you." He had a very close relationship before he was ever even born. And then the verb sanctified means to be set apart, to be consecrated. Again, we find this word in Genesis. In Genesis 2 and verse 3, it says, "And God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And so here he says, "Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee." Just as God set apart the Sabbath as a holy day, he sanctified and set apart Jeremiah for a particular service. And then we have the third verb. He says, "And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Again, we find that verb in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." And then it says, "And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness." It says God set them. That verb set is the same one translated ordained in Jeremiah. God ordained the sun and the moon for a specific purpose. So these words, three words together, paints a very important picture. God knew Jeremiah. He sanctified him, set him apart for a particular service, and then he ordained him to accomplish that task. Verse number 6, it says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, but I cannot speak, for I am a child. Human inadequacy and inexperience open the door for divine empowerment. These things here that Jeremiah was using as an excuse, because he saw them, and it's happened to me just now. I came up with two words. One of them is noctile and the other is fortile. And I have no idea what they are in English. I'll have to think for a second. Advantages and disadvantages. Okay, what Jeremiah saw as a disadvantage, God saw as an advantage. Human inadequacy and inexperience opened the door for empowerment. He said, I cannot speak. He was inadequate. He said, I am a child. He had no experience. But God said, that's not a problem. We find similar situations in other passages. Exodus 4, verse 10 to 12, as Moses was called. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses said, I can't. I'm not capable. It's not within my ability. And God said, that's why I chose you. Go and do it. Isaiah chapter 6, basically the same thing, verse 5 through 7. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. This is very close to me, because I understand Jeremiah and Moses and Isaiah and their hesitancy, because they didn't feel that they were adequate or had the experience. When I was 12 years old, I felt that the Lord was calling me to be a missionary. And I remember laying in bed and thinking, it's just not possible. There's no way that I could get up and stand in front of other people and speak. And I prayed at the age of 12. I said, Lord, if this is ever going to happen, you are going to have to do it, because I can't. I didn't realize that was what he wanted to hear. God answered Jeremiah's objection in three ways. Verse 6, he said, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7 says, But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. The first way he answered his objection was he stressed that Jeremiah would be acting under his authority. I shall send thee. I command thee. It's the same thing for us. Matthew chapter 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm not in Germany under my authority. If I was, I would have given up and quit a long time ago. Just to be honest, a lot of the people there don't really want me there. They would be happy to see us leave. I think some of them are waiting on us to leave. But I'm not there under my authority. I'm there because God called me and sent me there. And He gave me authority to be there. And that's why I am still there. So first, he stresses that Jeremiah would be acting under his authority. Second, he stresses that Jeremiah would be acting under his protection. In verse 8, he says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Jeremiah said, "I'm a child." And God said, "Don't be afraid of their faces, because I'm with you and I will deliver you." And as we look through the life of Jeremiah, we find that the Lord delivered him in many cases where we would have looked around and said, it's not possible that Jeremiah could be delivered from this situation, where he was hated by everyone and thrown into a dungeon, and yet God sent somebody to pull him up out of that dungeon. God promised him, "I'm going to protect you." And it's the same thing with us today. My parents were very open to us going to the mission field. In fact, when I was a child, I think I was maybe 10 years old, my dad was preaching and he pointed to a map of the world on the wall, similar to the map you have back here at the back. And he said, if God calls each of my children to a different continent, then that would be okay with him. At that time, we said there were 7 continents in Europe. They now say there's only 5. He had 8 children, so I don't know how we were going to be on every continent, but I began praying that I was not going to be the one that had to go to Antarctica. There's not even any people there. The fear to go somewhere, to learn a new language, and then have to face people with the gospel. The Lord said, "I will protect you." My parents did not hesitate. My wife's parents did not hesitate to send us to the mission field. But I have known many whose parents hesitated and said, "No, you can't go. I don't want my grandchildren to be born on the other side of the world and me never have the opportunity to see my grandchildren." Well, at the time that we left for Germany, I didn't think about the day would come when the opposite would occur and my grandchildren are born on the other side of the world. I have 2 grandchildren in Wisconsin. I saw the youngest, his name is Jason, for the first time on Wednesday evening. And he was scared of me. Didn't want anything to do with me. Although he's seen me many times in a video call using WhatsApp. But he was scared of me. But Thursday morning, when I heard him crying in bed, I got up and I went in there and I rescued him from bed. And now he loves me. Just because he's born on the other side of the world doesn't mean he doesn't have a relationship with his grandfather. In fact, I talk to him probably more than I would if I lived here in the States. Because that I live on the other side of the world, Zach, which he's almost 2 now, he wants to call every day to talk to Bubba. Now, my name is not Bubba, but I'm from Alabama, so I guess that makes it appropriate. The German word for grandpa is Opa. And so my daughter decided that she wanted her kids to call me Opa. But he cannot say Opa. It comes out Bubba. And I guess that works. I should not complain about that. But I talk to him every day. And I have a hobby that I've had for a long time since our kids were small. I would find Hot Wheels, like at Walmart for 90-something cents, whatever they are, from the time period around the time I was born. I was born in 68, and all of my neighbors had cars like Chargers and Challengers and stuff like that. And so I collect Hot Wheels from late 60s, early 70s. And so I'm talking to my son, Zach, using WhatsApp, and I show him a car. And he gets all excited about this car, and he's like, "Whoa." And this was the first word I ever heard him say. And so now we do this on a regular basis, and we literally play together. For my 52nd birthday, we lit the candles, and I said, "Zach, do you want to help me blow out the candle?" And he leaned towards the phone and blew and helped me blow the candles out. I have a relationship with my grandchildren that God has provided. And I thank God for that technology. But people are hesitant to allow their children to go into missionary service because they're afraid they'll never see their grandchildren. You'll have an eternity to spend with your grandchildren. God said, I'll protect you. Go, Jeremiah. You'll be acting under my protection. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice at the beginning of that psalm, it says, he leadeth me. Twice it says, he leadeth me. He's out in front. He's leading me. And then in the middle of the chapter, it says, for thou art with me. He's leading me. He's also with me. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He's leading me. He's with me. And he's following me. He's protecting me all around. There's a third thing that he gives as to go against the objections that Jeremiah had, and that is in verse 9. In verse 9 it says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. He says, I'll give you the very words that you are to speak. The Lord does the same thing for us today. Luke chapter 12, verse 11 to 12, it says, and when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. So we have the Holy Ghost inside of us that helps us to know what to say. You say, but wait a minute, we don't have no new inspiration. That is true. The Holy Spirit does not give me something to say that is new and different. He brings to work to my mind the Word of God. Well, how does he do that? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. From Psalm 119, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You see, if I spend time in the Word of God, not just reading it, but also studying it and memorizing it, then when that opportunity comes, the Holy Spirit has like a whole library there of things that I have learned that he can bring to my mind and I can then speak. I was telling the pastor last night about this man. He attends a Bible study occasionally. He is not interested in reading the Word of God for himself, but he watches YouTube videos. And so he has a lot of questions. And some of the YouTube videos is really way off the wall. And some of the things he comes up with, like how am I supposed to answer this? Well, when he comes to the Bible study, he comes with a list of questions, things that he wants to know about. And without any opportunity to know in advance what these questions are, I answer his questions. The first time he came, we spent 2 hours doing this, and he asked some really difficult questions. And after he left, the other man in the Bible study, he said, that was amazing. How did you do that? And I said, the Holy Spirit guided me. When he asked a question, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind verses that I didn't even know I had memorized. A lot of them, I was translating them from English into German because I had memorized them at some point in my life. And so I'm giving him these verses of scripture. Why? Because the Lord said, I will put the words in your mouth. I've seen that happen so many times in my ministry where God has given me exactly the words to say. And even when I come to the pulpit, I don't know everything that I'm going to say. I have an outline, and most of what I'm going to say is in that outline. But sometimes the Lord brings something, a verse that I had not thought of before, or an illustration. And so I pray before I come to the pulpit, I pray and I say, Lord, if there's something you don't want me to say, don't let it come to my mind. Because if it comes to my mind in the pulpit, I'm going to assume that it's the Holy Spirit leading me. And He's never led me in the wrong direction. He gives us the very words to speak through the Holy Ghost and through the Holy Scriptures. And then verse 10, he says, See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. This verse has something that was used in both Hebrew and Greek. It's a tool of rhetoric where you begin with something, go on to something else, then answer that something else with something else, and then go back to the original theme. We have that in this verse. So we have six different verbs here, and the first one and the last one go together. The first one is to root out, and the last one is to plant. Those two go together. I've studied, as I mentioned, about the history of this area and how that they settled this area. And when they first came here, there were trees, I mean, huge trees. And so in many cases, they found a way to kill that tree so that the shade from the tree would not block the sun from what they planted. And then they planted. But over time, they had to get rid of those trees. They had to root them out. And they spent much more time rooting out than they did planting. That's the way the ministry is. God said, that's the way it's going to be, Jeremiah. You're going to spend a lot of time rooting out so that you can plant. The four verbs in the middle also form a pair. But in this case, we have three that are parallel to the rooting out. He says to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and then to build. Three verbs talking about destruction, tearing something down, and then one verb to build. As a missionary, I have to say it's true. I spend at least three times as much time tearing down the philosophies that have been built by those in the past, the worldly philosophies that are there now. I spend at least three times as much time tearing things down as I spend building. That's what God sent Jeremiah to do. That's what He sent me to do in Germany. See, in Germany, where I am, it's 97% atheist. Atheists there are not like American atheists. American atheists, they hate God. It's not that they don't believe in Him. They hate Him. And so they hate everybody that has anything to do with Him. A German atheist is not like that. A German atheist is apathetic. He doesn't believe in God, and he really doesn't care whether God exists or not. But because of that, he is open to allowing his children to believe in God. He says, hey, I don't need God, but my children might. And so if my children need God, then great. And so we have a ministry to children in Germany because unsaved parents let their children come to Bible club. And we thank God that He has given us that ability to plant and to build. Not just rooting out and tearing down, but also to plant and to build.